From NPR News, this is special coverage of the South Carolina Republican primary. I'm Guy Raz.
And I'm Audie Cornish. Newt Gingrich has surged past former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney, taking a double-digit lead in many polls.
I voted for Newt Gingrich. I think he's strong. I think he's smart. He sounds like he speaks from his heart and the knowledge that he has and the real experience that he has.
Mitt Romney seems ready for a long fight as he looks ahead to future primaries.
We got a long way to go. So come join us in Florida, then in Nevada, Michigan, Colorado. We got a long way to go.
Rick Santorum tries to gain ground after being declared the winner in Iowa's caucuses, where he finished 34 votes ahead of Romney.
And Ron Paul doesn't look like he's going anywhere. He's buying ads in Nevada and Minnesota, which both hold caucuses in February. It's special coverage from NPR News. And joining me now in the studio is NPR's senior Washington editor, Ron Elving. Ron, the polls have just closed in South Carolina as we speak. What do we know at this hour?
At this hour, we know that the momentum that was built up by former Speaker Newt Gingrich following the Monday night debate and the Thursday night debate, and despite everything else that happened this week, appears to have continued. All the tracking polls show him running strong through Friday and today. And it looks like, although we're still gathering data and we'd like to see some actual votes counted down in the state of South Carolina, and as you say, the polls just closed, it looks like at this point it's Newt's night.
Ron, this is this contest is a turning point for Republicans, right?
Yes, it has been the state that since 1980, and this is one of the most often repeated statements of this month, the one state that since 1980 has picked the Republican nominee each time. So every Republican candidate wants badly to win this particular primary, and of course, whoever does win it tonight will say its streak will continue.
That's NPR's senior Washington editor Ron Elving. He'll be with us throughout the night. Ron, thanks for the moment.
And we're going to go next to NPR's Tamara Keith. She's at the Gingrich headquarters, which are at Columbia, South Carolina. Hello there, Tamara.
Hello. It has just gotten very loud here all of a sudden. They must know we're on the air.
Yeah, so I can imagine. Tamara, are any of the Gingrich surrogates there, any of the folks who are going to be sort of spinning whatever the results are for the evening?
There are a couple of folks here, mostly South Carolina people, not real big names, not names that you'd recognize just yet. Really, who's here? We have a ton of media here. This might be a sign of what people are expecting, but the press risers are packed. There are just people absolutely everywhere. Not a lot of partiers yet because the party doesn't start until 8, but a huge attendance of national and international media.
And Tamara, you've been traveling in the state. Can you talk a little bit about what voters have been saying to you about Newt Gingrich, especially after this week, which has been really a roller coaster?
It has been quite a roller coaster. You know, the debate performances that he gave this week really had an influence on a lot of people. People were wowed by him in that Monday night debate, and then again on Thursday. You know, Thursday was when his second ex-wife, Marianne, did an interview with ABC saying that he had wanted an open marriage. In the debate that night, he attacked the media and went after the moderator of the debate, and that just fired people up in a lot of ways because in a Republican primary, going against the media is a winning message.
Is that an arrival there? What's that applause for we're hearing?
It is unclear. It is. There's a small group of people, and there are now folks on the microphone, though it's not quite clear what people are cheering for yet.
Well, Tamara will keep us posted for the rest of the night down there in Hilton, Columbia Center of Columbia, South Carolina. Thanks so much, Tamara.
Thank you.
To Ron Elving, NPR's senior Washington editor, as we just heard from Tamara, Gingrich really... he pulled off something some would argue was miraculous. I mean, this morning, the latest public opinion poll showed him with a double-digit lead over Mitt Romney, who himself had a double-digit lead over Newt Gingrich just a week ago.
That's right. A week ago, this looked like Mitt Romney's to lose, and this week it looks like Mitt Romney lost it. Let's not take anything away from those debate performances that have already been mentioned. Newt Gingrich was on fire on Monday night and still on Thursday night. He batted away all these allegations, hasn't really necessarily put them to rest, but he batted them away very effectively, made himself the anti-media champion, and so he continued his momentum. But let's not forget that Mitt Romney during the course of this week, has had a terrible time dealing with an issue most candidates resolve fairly early on in a candidacy, what to do about your tax returns. He didn't want to release them, at least not up until now, but he says he will, but he doesn't know how many years, and he doesn't know exactly when, but maybe he paid about 15% of a tax rate, but around that, and he's not real sure. And he also made a disparaging remark about the earned income, which was just from speeches that didn't amount to much and turned out to be $375,000.
You know, Ron, Newt Gingrich really went on the attack against Romney, of course, attacking his business dealings at Bain. That didn't seem to hurt Romney. So how did Gingrich turn this all around? What did he do right?
I think what he did right was he allowed Mitt Romney to essentially set and fall into his own trap with regard to the tax returns. He exploited that by putting out his own tax returns in a timely manner. And he also realized that while the Bain attack was not working in the way they hoped it would work, that in tandem, dovetailing with some of these other remarks in this tax business, the idea of Mitt Romney as an out-of-touch plutocrat, fair or unfair, was beginning to catch on in South Carolina.
And essentially, we'll find out tonight what happens, but all the momentum is with Gingrich as we speak.
That is the way it appears.
That's NPR's senior Washington editor, Ron Elving. Ron, thanks.
Thank you, Guy.
You're listening to special coverage of the South Carolina Republican primary from NPR News. To find out more updates, what's going on in this race, and some headlines and analysis for the next, go to npr.org. From NPR News, this is special coverage of the South Carolina Republican primary. I'm Guy Raz.
And I'm Audie Cornish. Polls have just closed across South Carolina. We are waiting for results in the first Southern Republican primary of 2012. It's a contest that has seen Newt Gingrich eclipse Mitt Romney in the polls in just a few days.
We'll be bringing you results tonight with the help of our reporters in South Carolina, with our analysts, and with surrogates for the candidates, including Governor Tim Pawlenty, former Governor Tim Pawlenty, who joins us now. He's the national co-chairman for Mitt Romney's campaign. Governor, welcome to the program. Thanks for being with us tonight.
Delight to be with you, Guy and Audie. Thanks for having me.
Governor Pawlenty, let me ask you about Romney's strategy in South Carolina. As we've been hearing all week, he had a double-digit lead in the polls just a few days ago. What happened? What went wrong for Mitt Romney in South Carolina?
Well, I don't think it went wrong. If we hope he wins tonight, we don't know the results. But if it turns out that Gingrich wins in South Carolina, I think most observers, if they weren't looking at just the sentiment of this moment, but step back a month or 3 months or 6 months, would say, you know, Mitt was going to perhaps have a challenge on his hands in Iowa and South Carolina, but would do well in New Hampshire and then Florida and beyond. And so that plan is still very much intact, and if he happened to catch a windfall by winning Iowa or South Carolina, that would have been great, and we hope that still happens in South Carolina. But if it doesn't, the most people would have said 6 months ago, Romney winning, Mitt winning New Hampshire, and then doing well in the longer march in Florida and beyond was the most likely scenario.
His strategy, Mitt Romney's strategy up to this point, has been slow and steady, a marathon, his campaign has been saying. Does he shift that after tonight if it doesn't go well for him?
Well, he's got the only campaign guy that's built to go the distance. And if you're going to be a successful nominee and a successful candidate and ultimately a successful president, you got to have a certain steadiness and sturdiness about you as well as in your campaign. And Mitt Romney, I think, has demonstrated through the debates that he's the one person who has that steadiness. And look, he's also the only person who's not a Washington, D.C. near lifer. And if Republicans want an outsider, somebody who's been in the private sector and been involved in things that are not Washington, D.C., that's Mitt Romney.
But what do you say to those who...
He also doesn't have this wild up and down that you've seen in some of the search candidates in their campaigns or in their personal lives.
But what do you say to those who argue that Mitt Romney, there's an enthusiasm gap there when it comes to certain parts?
Well, each candidate has their own style, and so you have to come at it with that starting point. But look at Ronald Reagan. I mean, Ronald Reagan was a very strong and committed movement conservative and moved the needle huge for the conservative movement, but interpersonally, very civil, very gracious, and by all accounts, a very kind man. It wasn't a outrageous person in terms of rhetoric, but it was had a certain elegance to him as a person and a certain graciousness to him. I think Mitt Romney has many of those same characteristics, and so it's just a style difference, but he has passion. He loves this country. He's been speaking forcefully about his vision for America, and I think you'll see that will prevail over the course of the coming states.
Governor Pawlenty, just in the remaining seconds we have, many people have wondered whether you were, of course, a former candidate yourself, or whether you in some ways regret dropping out so early.
Well, Guy, you're kind to ask. I had a fair shot at it. We made some decisions in my campaign to put a lot of our modest chips down early, and that didn't work. And so we took it as far as I could, but I'm pleased and proud to support Mitt Romney. I think he's by far the most knowledgeable, most capable, and most electable candidate in this field. And when Republicans, I think, consider this further, they'll come to the same conclusion.
That's former Minnesota governor and presidential candidate Tim Pawlenty. He's also the national co-chairman of the Romney campaign. Governor Pawlenty, thanks so much.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me on the show.
We're going next to Clemson, South Carolina, where Senator Jim DeMint is joining us by phone. Senator, hello.
Hey, good evening. How are you doing?
Great. Thank you for being on the show. In 2008, you endorsed Mitt Romney, and he's obviously going through some tough times in the state now. Give us a sense of what happened here.
Well, I think there's one factor that people miss. I think the majority of Americans, not just Republicans, believe our country is in trouble and that there are some powerful forces in Washington pushing us in the wrong direction. And both parties in some ways have let people down. And they're really looking for a president who is tough, is willing to take a stand. And frankly, what I hear from people more than anything else, after what I've done to try to unseat a few Republicans who are just big spenders, and they just say, thanks for fighting. And I think what happened in South Carolina this week is, despite the other issues of the questions of fidelity and all of that, what they saw from Newt Gingrich in the debates was some fight. And that's what I think people are looking for right now, is they want to be assured that the next president is willing to take on some very powerful forces, like we saw to some degree at the state level from Governor Scott Walker in Wisconsin.
At this point, do you feel like you can endorse Newt Gingrich officially?
No, I don't intend to get involved in the presidential race because my focus is on trying to deliver a conservative majority in the Senate to the next president, and hopefully that will be a Republican.
And to that end, you've been in the Senate very much a leader of Tea Party supporters. And I'm wondering if you see a candidate really in this field that those voters can coalesce around.
Well, I see the Tea Party pretty divided between candidates, and it's really a myth that none of the Tea Party is with Romney. A lot of my supporters here in South Carolina are with Romney, and they're split from Santorum to Gingrich and some with Ron Paul. So the Tea Party is united, and I think really it's a misnomer to suggest that there's one organization called the Tea Party. These are thousands of groups around the country.
No, but their votes have really swayed things. Obviously, we saw in the last election, and you know, we're wondering if there's any movement in their support at this point.
Well, I think what they're looking for is a candidate with the character, the courage, and the skills to lead our nation. Certainly, a conservative philosophy is important. But what's uniting these, and I think other Americans, is just the concern over the spending, the borrowing, and the debt, and just the growth and intrusion of the federal government. And that's why I think you see independents and libertarians and some disaffected Democrats who are just angry at the status quo. So I think the president, at least the Republican nominee, has got to show a clear contrast with what Barack Obama is doing right now, which is more concentration of power in Washington, central planning and control of economics. And it's not working. It hasn't worked for centuries in other countries. It's more like what we see in Europe.
Well, Senator DeMint, thank you for speaking with us. Sorry to cut you off there. Senator Jim DeMint, he's the author of a new book, Now or Never, Saving America from Economic Collapse. He talked to us from Clemson, South Carolina. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Audie.
And with us here in the studio is E.J. Dionne, a Washington Post columnist and senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. Also, Matthew Continetti, contributing editor for the Weekly Standard. Gentlemen, great to have you here tonight.
Good to be here.
Matthew, to you first. Say Newt Gingrich does win, as expected. It throws this whole race into something approaching turmoil.
And just goes to show, don't predict the future. Here I was just a week ago saying the general election was basically beginning, and doesn't look like that. If Newt pulls it off here, we will have had three contests with three different winners. The Republican field basically wide open. Now, of course, raises the question, how did Newt Gingrich do so well so quickly? And this was a very late surge that I think came even after his initial line of attack on Bain Capital. And the reason for it, I believe, is he had two very powerful performances at these debates where, as Jim DeMint just said, he showed fight. And the Republicans in South Carolina are more conservative. They're more religiously conservative and observant. They're not likely to go for Romney. But they also have a different idea of electability than I think most of Romney's supporters do. The Romney supporters have an idea of an electability where you're in the center and you're appealing to independents and moderates. The very conservatives' idea of electability is someone who's going to have a very sharp contrast with this president. And they see that in Newt Gingrich, who, if anything, loves exploiting sharp contrasts.
And E.J. Dionne, to you about Newt Gingrich. I mean, we're not talking about a resurrection. We're talking about a re-resurrection. This is somebody who has crashed and burned at least twice in this campaign. He was left for dead in Iowa, and it looks like this could be his night.
This may be, depending on how you want to count it, his third resurrection. And if he wins tonight, by the way, it will be his first victory in an election since 1998, the last time he was on a ballot, except for the early primaries at caucuses, which he lost here. Newt Gingrich is a ruthless genius, but there is a kind of genius to Newt Gingrich. He's a genius on the debate stage. One can be troubled by the way he took on Juan Williams and the racial overtones to that, but it really appealed to some voters in South Carolina. In the second debate, he turned the news of his wife's interview saying he had an open marriage into an asset by going after John King, the moderator of the debate, with such ferocity, which, as Matt said, is exactly what Republicans are looking for in this campaign, ferocity against President Obama. I thought Mitt Romney tonight sounded a bit like Howard Dean, like The Scream. It was earlier today, the clip you ran, where he wanted to mention every state except South Carolina. I was there in the middle of the week, Tuesday and Wednesday. Two things struck me. On the one hand, all the smart people there were quite certain Mitt Romney was going to win at that point. But they kept saying, but it's not because he has strong support. It's not because people really like him. Brad Worthen, a very smart political blogger down there, said that, well, they're kind of settling for Romney. Well, a lot of conservatives decided they didn't want to settle. And it looks like tonight, even with this open marriage story, he won evangelicals overwhelmingly, according to CNN's report on the exit polls. He even appears to have carried women who had been eluding him all during this campaign. It was a remarkable show by Newt Gingrich.
At the same time, Gingrich benefited from a state that had six of the 17 debates. I mean, that's his stage, and he got to have it a lot over the last couple of weeks. And what is this going to be like when he goes on, if he goes on to other states, which it sounds like whether he wins or not, he will, where organization matters and money matters and kind of staying on track?
That's exactly the right question. Go ahead.
Yeah,
Matt.
Well, I mean, people say organization matters in Iowa. Well, Rick Santorum pulled off a 43-vote upset. People say, oh, organization matters in South Carolina. Newt Gingrich comes in, uses his debate performances and town hall meetings to score a huge upset. Organization matters right up until the point it doesn't. And voters just don't want to embrace Romney right away.
That's Matt Continetti and E.J. Dionne. Stand by. We're going to be hearing a lot more from the both of you tonight. You're listening to special coverage of the South Carolina Republican primary from NPR News.
From NPR News, this is special coverage of the South Carolina Republican primary. I'm Audie Cornish.
And I'm Guy Raz. Here's an update on where we stand at this hour. Voting has ended in South Carolina. Exit polls suggest this may be Newt Gingrich's night.
The former House Speaker had a strong week. He leapt in front of Mitt Romney in the polls after two strong debate performances. Mitt Romney, meanwhile, has struggled amid questions about his wealth and his taxes.
Now, as for Rick Santorum, he's been hoping that strong support from social conservatives would help, but he seems to be competing with Ron Paul for third place.
Joining us now is Richard Viguerie. He endorsed Rick Santorum. Mr. Viguerie is a Republican political consultant, and he's speaking to us by phone from Virginia. Hello, sir.
Good evening.
So let's talk a little bit about Rick Santorum, because he had a good week, too. Got a little boost from the shift in the Iowa numbers. And now, how well does he need to do in order to really make a difference to his campaign?
Well, I think that it's clear now this race is going to go on significantly beyond South Carolina. A week ago, it was looking like it could end in South Carolina, but now I think just about everybody expects it to go far past Florida, which is in 10 days. And the conservative movement, for the first time in my 50 years of involvement at the national level, is sitting on the sidelines for the most part. They're not involved with any candidate.
And by the movement, do you mean sort of the establishment and money kind of folks?
Well, no, the conservative movement. The movement that came behind Ronald Reagan to propel him to the presidency. The movement that got behind Barry Goldwater. The Republican establishment are the ones with the money, and that's the leadership. And it's a very strange situation in the Republican Party. You have the conservatives, which are the base of the party. They make up about 75% of the party. And there's a disconnect between those people and the leadership of the party. With few exceptions, such as Goldwater and Reagan, the leadership has been to the left of the base. And the base is not excited about any of the candidates out there right now. And none of them are viewed as small government, principled constitutional conservatives. The base sees Gingrich and Santorum as being better than the others.
Can you talk a little bit about Santorum and his support among evangelicals in South Carolina, the sort of northern part of the state? Those are the counties we'll be looking to see if Santorum does well. But how can that group help him moving forward, especially in states like Florida?
Well, you have to have a base to be successful in politics, especially at the national level. Reagan had 1.5 bases. Full base was the conservative movement. The conservative movement, as I said earlier, is sitting on the sidelines at this point in time. I was in Texas last week when 150 social issue conservatives, for the most part, came together and overwhelmingly endorsed Rick Santorum for the Republican presidential nomination. And so that was just a week ago. If that begins to gel out there and the word gets out that the leadership of the social conservatives are supporting Santorum, I think it's going to make it a very competitive race between Gingrich and Santorum. At this point in time, I think that it's clear that Romney is not going to be the nominee of the Republican Party. For 5 years, he's been stuck at in the mid-20s nationally, and they're just 75% of the Republican voters have decided they're just not going to live with Mitt Romney. So I think he's going to fall short, and either Santorum or Gingrich will be the nominee.
And, of course, you have endorsed Rick Santorum. I'm sure Romney supporters would disagree with you. But thank you so much, Richard Viguerie, for speaking to us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
At the Ron Paul headquarters in Columbia, South Carolina, I believe that's where NPR's Debbie Elliott is at the moment, at Jillian's. This is the Vista Billiards Club. Is that right, Debbie, if I got that right?
That's right. It's a happening bar.
It sounds like a pretty happening place. I mean, you are with one of the most dynamic campaigns this season. But, of course, Ron Paul didn't seem to really gain traction in South Carolina. What's the thinking behind that?
No, and he didn't campaign here as hard as he did in Iowa and New Hampshire, you know, and part of that could have to do with money. Most of his supporters here are young, a lot of them students from nearby University of South Carolina, just a few blocks from here. And then you have some older folks, too, who've come from different parts of the state. He had a rally here last night, and it was much more exuberant and crowded last night than it is tonight. It's still pretty quiet right now as far as his supporters.
Right.
Everybody just waiting for him.
Right now it seems that Ron Paul and Rick Santorum are battling for the third place spot.
Right.
It's still early, of course. We won't know for several more hours. But how long, Debbie, how long can Ron Paul continue in this race?
You know, he told everybody last night he's not giving up. He said, you know, I don't know what's going to happen in South Carolina, you know, but this is a long haul. They're not going to compete in Florida. They don't have the resources for that. He's moving on to Nevada and some of the later primaries that are happening next month. But he sort of said, you know, we're still going to get our message out. You know, this is important. And, you know, he has such committed followers. And I think a lot of them expect him to stay in the race just in order to be able to move the GOP on some of these issues that he continues to talk about.
I mean, you look at his small donors, almost half of all of his donations have come from small donors. Compare that to Mitt Romney, where it's about 10%. So still enthusiasm for Ron Paul either way.
Right. And, you know, I think they like to say, you know, Mitt Romney, you know, Goldman Sachs is behind him and you're behind me, you know, talking to his crowd.
That's NPR's Debbie Elliott at Ron Paul headquarters in Columbia, South Carolina. Debbie, we'll talk to you later on in the program.
Bye, Guy.
And we turn next to NPR's Mara Liasson, our national political correspondent. Mara, do you have any sense yet about who the voters are we should be looking at coming out of the results tonight?
Well, one of the most interesting thing about these exit polls is that the voters we were all watching as potential firewalls for Mitt Romney are just falling like dominoes for Newt Gingrich. Women, we were all told, look at the women's vote because, of course, the explosive allegations or rehashing of allegations about from his second wife. Men are going for Gingrich, 41 to 27. No surprise there. Women are going for Gingrich, 36 to 30. So much for that firewall. Look at evangelical voters. Granted, they had a tough choice, two Catholics and a Mormon. But it doesn't sound like Newt's infidelity bothered them. 64% of voters identified themselves as evangelical. They went for Gingrich, 42 to 22 for Romney, and only 20 for Santorum, the one kind of pure, almost pure evangelical candidate. It's extraordinary. Economic voters, there's another firewall. Romney's strong suit, 39% of voters who say the economy is the most important issue for them went for Gingrich, 33 for Romney. Oh, and how about can defeat Obama? Now, if that isn't the central case of Mitt Romney's whole run for president, well, the people who care the most about somebody who can defeat Obama, 48%, thought Gingrich was better, or 48% of voters coming out of the exit polls. Let me recast that a little bit more accurately. 48% of voters coming out told exit pollsters they thought Gingrich was better at beating Obama. Only 39% said Romney.
Well, you can follow more about the latest results and find more analysis at our website, npr.org. You're listening to special coverage from NPR News. From NPR News, this is special coverage of the South Carolina Republican primary. I'm Audie Cornish.
And I'm Guy Raz. Newt Gingrich leads Mitt Romney, according to CNN and other networks, but Romney supporters are still hopeful.
And I do believe if you believe in America, you believe in Mitt Romney.
Rick Santorum and Ron Paul are still in a battle for third.
It's special coverage from NPR News.
We're speaking now with NPR's Ron Elving, senior Washington editor. Ron, we're finally getting little dribs and drabs of information out there from the networks about what the exit polls are saying. And what kind of indication does it give us about how long this primary race is going to be going?
It does not appear that this is going to be a late night. The opinion of people who are in a hurry to call a winner seems to be unanimous among those who have already called someone. They're calling Newt Gingrich. But the results are still just beginning to trickle in. We don't even have 1% of the precincts reporting yet. And in those few precincts that have reported, Governor Romney actually has a small lead. But we don't expect that to really hold up. What we expect is as the votes come in over the next hour or so, we will begin to see something that corroborates what we've seen in the tracking polls, not exit polls, but tracking polls Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday through the week that showed every day a big surge for Mitt Romney, for Newt Gingrich, which appears to have continued as Mitt Romney himself was falling. Now, some of that was Newt up, Mitt down, but a certain amount of that was just Mitt down and Newt benefiting as people lost faith in the Romney candidacy.
To back away from that part of it, I'm wondering what this means for sort of South Carolina's reputation. If there is another winner and there ends up being three winners of three different states, you know, how meaningful is that?
I would say that South Carolina's reputation for always picking the nominee is at some risk tonight. If they do go with Newt Gingrich, they're going to then be looking at a split, as you say, in the first three events, the difficulty of Newt Gingrich winning in Florida 10 days from now. So in the past, when South Carolina has built up this reputation, much of it has been built on essentially certifying people who are already the front runner, Ronald Reagan, George H.W. Bush, George W. Bush, and so on. They have corroborated what other states were telling them and what the national national polls said. Tonight, South Carolina seems to be going its own way.
And is there, I guess, is there anything you're going to be looking for in particular out of these polls in terms of what voters are looking for?
Trying to tease out at this point why women voters do not seem to be objecting more to issues that have bothered women voters in other states and appear to in national polls.
Right. People thought this is very surprising. We talked to Mara Eliason earlier about it, and I remember looking online, the Google Elections blog mentioned that Gingrich's ex-wife was like the second most Googled term for his name.
It would appear at this hour, however, that the question that people are hearing when you ask some of these questions is a little different from the question as we understand it. A lot of people are hearing the question as, do you believe the media when they tell you, fill in the blank? Do you want to essentially support the hit that was laid on Newt Gingrich on Thursday by ABC News and to some degree by CNN in the debate? Do you want to support that, or do you want to support Newt Gingrich?
Thank you so much, Ron.
Thank you, Adi.
And let's turn now to NPR's Ari Shapiro. He's at Mitt Romney's headquarters in Columbia, South Carolina. Ari, I guess, how would you describe the scene there at this point?
Incongruously enthusiastic.
Wow.
Given the numbers that are coming in for Mitt Romney, it's kind of shocking how cheerful and joyous and shouting everybody is. There are a lot of young supporters here who are saying, well, maybe he won't get a victory in South Carolina, but he's going to go on and win everything after this. You know, I've been at Romney headquarters now for the last three caucuses and caucuses and primaries. In Iowa, we heard him give this speech that was, we're not sure whether we've won or lost. In New Hampshire, we heard him give this big victory speech. It may be that tonight we find out what a concession speech from Mitt Romney sounds like.
Ari, has there been a pretty big attempt by the campaign to tamp down expectations?
Oh, totally. I mean, listen, to be fair, from the beginning they said this is going to be a marathon, not a sprint. Mm. South Carolina is not as suited to his profile of Republicanism as New England was. But it never sounded like they meant that before. In the last couple days, it sounded like they really meant that and they thought things might not go so well tonight after all.
What?
But even just today, you know, Romney was talking about the states that come after South Carolina.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, clearly he's looking ahead. What are some of the people around him saying about what happened, how it unraveled for him in South Carolina?
I think the things that Ron was saying make absolute sense. The taxes issue was a blunder on his part. He decided ultimately to release some of them, but it wasn't clear how many, and by not saying that from the outset, he sort of drew this thing out. His own supporters and advisors were saying, you walked into that one. To some extent, I think the attacks from Newt Gingrich may not have been the sole thing that undermined him, but they certainly didn't help. These vulture capitalism descriptions of his years at Bain.
That's NPR's Ari Shapiro at Mitt Romney's headquarters in Columbia, South Carolina. Ari, stand by because we're going to be talking to you a lot tonight.
Right.
You're listening to special coverage of the South Carolina Republican primary from NPR News. From NPR News, it's special coverage of the South Carolina Republican primary. I'm Guy Raz.
And I'm Audie Cornish. South Carolina is known for picking the ultimate Republican nominee, and we are watching results as they come in to see who that will be.
Well, we're not yet calling the race for Newt Gingrich. Exit polls have indicated that he's in a very strong position in South Carolina. That's a major reversal in just a few days. A win for Mitt Romney had appeared to be inevitable, but South Carolina is keeping it exciting.
Here to talk a little bit more about it is Ron Elving, our senior Washington editor. Ron, you heard Ari earlier saying that there might be a concession speech from Romney, but what's going to be the sort of politics here of announcing, you know, when candidates feel it's the right time to step out?
There does tend to be a little bit of a after you, no after you.
Well, especially in this year where everything's been so close.
Yes, and of course, one would like to get out there and make a victory speech as close to prime time as possible in as much of the country as possible. Now, of course, we're in prime time in the East, but we're not in prime time yet in the West. And if Newt Gingrich is going to get to have a big speech tonight, and we can only imagine the enthusiasm with which he would deliver such a speech after finishing fourth in Iowa and about tied for fourth in New Hampshire, if he's going to win first place here tonight, we're going to hear a speech from Newt Gingrich. So he wants as much of the country to hear that as possible. I suspect he'll wait a little while, and he would prefer to have some of his rivals go first.
And if you think about both Iowa and the results in New Hampshire, the candidates really use that to set up for the next states. And since all of these candidates seem to say they're going to push forward, it'll be interesting to hear the tone.
That's right. And, you know, Mitt Romney, you know, not to continue with the tattoo we seem to be doing on his head at this moment, but he has lost, in a sense, two primaries or two events in the last 48 hours. He thought he had won Iowa, and we find out that apparently he didn't, and then Iowa goes so far as to say they're going to certify Rick Santorum as the winner of the Iowa caucuses, even though they don't have all the precincts in. And then on top of that, he gets a surprise loss here in South Carolina that's been deteriorating on him all week. Not a good week for Mitt Romney.
Thank you so much, Ron.
Joining us now on the line is Representative James Clyburn. He's a congressman from South Carolina's 6th District, and he's also a Democrat. Congressman Clyburn, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
So, of course, we're looking for a somewhat different perspective from you tonight. Democrats are not holding a primary tonight. It's only a GOP primary. How does this all look from from the perspective of a Democrat?
Well, I think that what we have here is a classic division of the electorate here. We've seen now a three-way split with the first three primaries. I don't think in caucuses, I don't think that's ever happened before. We saw just a week ago where Mitt Romney was the projected winner of the South Carolina primary. And now, 1 week later, he's rejected to lose tonight. I think that there's an identity crisis taking place within the Republican Party. We certainly have got at least two front runners going into Florida. And we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
Congressman Clyburn, from the perspective of a Democrat, and obviously presumably a supporter of President Obama, who is the toughest GOP candidate that he would have to face, in your view?
Look, I don't think there is a toughest. I think that whoever they nominate is going to be tough. The fact of the matter is we know we live in a climate now. Citizens United has given us a different feel to play upon. If we were talking about a previous election, I might have a different view of that. But we now know that all kinds of money can come into these campaigns unfettered, unattributed, and it can also lead to strange results. We never would. I think Newt would have won Iowa hands down had it not been for all the money that went in there. And I think that Romney, after being winning New Hampshire, would have done well in South Carolina, except that Newt retaliated and brought money in here. Mm. And we all know that if you can rule the airwaves, you are going to be pretty successful in the campaign.
Well, Congressman James Clyburn, thanks so much.
Well, thank you.
That's Congressman James Clyburn. He joined us from Columbia, South Carolina. He's a Democrat who represents the state's 6th district.
We're going to speak to another veteran of the House. This is former Representative Bob Livingston. He's joining us by phone here in D.C. Mr. Livingston, thank you for speaking with us.
Good evening. Good to be with you.
Now, you chaired the House Appropriations Committee with Mr. Gingrich when he was Speaker. Can you give us a sense of his leadership style? Because I think we know him from his rise and fall after the 1994 Republican Revolution.
Well, Newt Gingrich is clearly a very tough guy. You can knock him down, he'll come back swinging, just like Rocky Balboa. The fact is that he has had a stellar career. He came into Congress in 1978, left in 99. I arrived a year before him and left at the same time. But I know him well. If it had not been for Newt Gingrich, Republicans would not have taken the majority of the House of Representatives.
At the same time, some of his blind spots as a leader, you know, helped orchestrate his own downfall. And
But if you look at the results, you know, people can pick at his management style, and they do, and we're hearing a lot about that. But if you look at the results of the 4 years that he was in Congress or as Speaker, the nation turned around. The ship of state literally turned away from the liberal policies of Bill Clinton in these early years to a much more conservative, lower spending, lower taxes, welfare reform orientation. And because of our efforts in those 4 years, we balanced the budget for just about the only time, maybe 4 years, only time since World War II.
And, of course, you are a supporter of Mr. Gingrich's. And, you know, I have to ask, some of those accomplishments you described came about because he was able to cross the aisle and work with Democrats. And some of those things came back to haunt him in this primary race. And is there any concern how he walks that line now?
No, I think that's why he's going to be elected president. He did indeed work with Bill Clinton, and they got along with each other. And
but you don't get any points for working with Pelosi these days, right?
No, you don't. And he's done that as well, and that's, he's gotten a lot of criticism for that. But he's a unique guy. The Investor's Business Daily today lead editorial compared him to Winston Churchill, and there's a lot of commonality. He is a large vision, aggressive guy who knows where he wants to take the nation, and some people just don't like his style. I understand that, but we have tremendous problems in this country, and we need a leader who will tackle them, and not just a placeholder like some of the other candidates in the race, but a person who's going to tackle those with vision and perseverance and actually turn the country around.
Congressman Livingston, this is Guy Raz here in the studio with Audie Cornish. Let me ask you about Newt Gingrich's electability. Is he someone the Republican establishment will be able to back as their nominee? I mean, realistically speaking.
Right now, Guy, I would tell you the establishment is a little concerned about Newt. It's up to him to show that he can gather all the Republicans together. But the Republicans and conservatives and independents are united on one thought, and that is to get Mr. Obama out of the White House. And they will rally around just about anybody, with the possible exception of Ron Paul. I think Mr. Santorum, Mr. Romney, or Mr. Gingrich can beat and will beat President Obama. But it's going to take people coming together. And right now, there are people who have taken sides, and the establishment, quote-unquote, has gotten behind Mitt Romney. But he's showing that he is flagging. He doesn't like the debates. He's not doing well in the debates. And every debate, Newt gets stronger and stronger. He's tough as nails. And I think everybody knows that he's the best guy to tackle in a debate the current president of the United States and his teleprompter.
And, of course, Representative Livingston, Newt Gingrich has benefited from the debates. And at the same time, and he's hoping that if he was the nominee, that he could get President Obama to meet him in some Lincoln-Douglas-style debates. But when he's not on stage, Newt Gingrich has had some stumbles. And is he leaning too hard on that? Does he have the other aspects of the race to go the distance?
Well, I think you're seeing that people are so concerned about the unemployment in this country, the horrendous debt that has been accrued over the last 10 years, and especially the last 3.5 years, some $6 trillion, at least $5 trillion just in the last 3 years, have been accrued, and the very threatening foreign policy that exists today that's worse than it's been in a generation. That people are looking for a leader, and they're willing to overlook some of the problems that Newt and others have had. Clearly, Newt is not the first public figure to have problems. President Clinton had his, and he remains one of the most popular people in public life today. So I think that you're going to see that is discounted. They're looking for leadership, they're looking for strength, and they're looking for vision and direction, and they get it from Newt Gingrich.
Representative Bob Livingston, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
And, Audie, at this moment, we have some information to report on the results, early results, about 2% of the precincts reporting. It looks like Newt Gingrich holds a 2 percentage point lead over Mitt Romney. We expect that to change over time. Rick Santorum in third place and Ron Paul in fourth. Joining us now on the line is Jack Hunter. He is a blogger for the Ron Paul campaign. He's a blogger who calls himself, I should add, the Southern Avenger. Jack Hunter is in Columbia, South Carolina. Thanks for being with us.
Good to be with you this evening.
Jack, it's still early days here, but Ron Paul looks like he's got about 10% of the vote, clear in fourth place at the moment. I mean, is South Carolina a setback in some ways for Ron Paul?
Well, no, not at all. The numbers we're getting, obviously you want to get as big a number as you possibly can, is in line with what some of our internal polling was showing and what we were expecting. We're in this for the long haul. you know, if you look at Iowa, you look at New Hampshire, and you even look at South Carolina tonight, and this has the potential to go further. Ron Paul has either tripled or doubled his 2008 numbers. We've been picking up delegates. And as we head into the caucus states, you know, the biggest decision to be made will be right in early February, when a lot of big decisions are going to be made in a lot of different states. And we look forward to those contests, and we think we're going to do really well.
Jack, let me ask you this question. Every time I bring up Ron Paul with sort of analysts and, let's say, establishment analysts, the answer is Ron Paul will never be nominated as the GOP candidate. It will never happen.
We actually heard that from the earlier last caller who was talking to Newt Gingrich. He said that the Republican Party could actually rally around everybody but Ron Paul, if I'm reciting what he said correctly. Actually, if our primary concern, the thing that Republicans want to rally around, is beating Barack Obama. There's only two guys in this race that can get that done, according to most polling. That's Mitt Romney, and that is Ron Paul.
Well, Jack Hunter, I'm going to have to cut you off there, but thanks so much. It's Ron Jack Hunter. He's with the Ron Paul campaign. You're listening to special coverage of the South Carolina Republican primary from NPR News.
From NPR News, this is special coverage of the South Carolina Republican primary. I'm Audie Cornish.
And I'm Guy Raz. Here is the state of things at this hour. Polls closed nearly 1 hour ago, and results are trickling in. All signs point to a Newt Gingrich victory.
That was not the narrative even a week ago, but Gingrich appears to have caught fire in South Carolina with his two strong debate performances. And senior Washington editor Ron Elving, what's the word?
Well, the word is that we have enough results now from actual votes, in addition to some of the other indications, to say that the early lead for Romney, which was never taken too seriously because we were just at about 1% of the vote, has now been superseded, and Gingrich is moving ahead, and there does not seem to be any reason to doubt that he will be the winner tonight.
Speaking earlier today, the former House Speaker presented himself as the conservative standard bearer. Here's a little sound from him.
I am the only conservative who has an opportunity to stop a Massachusetts moderate, and I need the vote of every conservative in South Carolina today.
And we'll soon see how much of that vote Newt Gingrich has won.
Joining us on the line now is Senator Saxby Chambliss. He's a Republican from Georgia. He's in Moultrie, Georgia. Senator Chambliss, you on the line there?
I am, Guy. Good to be with you.
Thank you for being with us. As you just heard, NPR is now calling tonight's race for Newt Gingrich. What does this mean for this race? I mean, Newt Gingrich now appears to have won in South Carolina. This is a new ball game.
Well, I guess the question is now, Guy, how much is he going to win by? And you've got to look at this as a major turnaround, a major political victory for a guy who was written off, as Audie just said, a week ago. And I think it throws the Republican nomination further into turmoil, and you know, who knows where we're going to go. It's a very, very interesting scenario to see how this plays out the rest of the night, see how big the margin is.
I mean, one could argue that Newt Gingrich has an advantage with Republican voters in the South. Obviously, he's a Southerner. I guess one could argue Ron Paul is to some extent. But of the three, Newt Gingrich is from Georgia. This is, as he has said in the past, Gingrich territory. I mean, does he have an advantage in some ways?
Well, certainly, South Carolina is a neighbor to us. We share a lot in common with South Carolina, philosophically as well as geographically. But you really have to give Newt the tip of the hat here, because South Carolinians are very much independent. I mean, gosh, they've had Democrats in the Senate up until Jim DeMint and Lindsey Graham, both Republicans, were elected there. And they tend to look at who's the best candidate and who's the best, in this case, that can go up against Barack Obama. And I think based on the debates that have been held, they've decided the best candidate's Newt Gingrich. So I think you just have to tip the hat to Newt in this case. He didn't win because he's from a neighboring state. He won because he showed out the best here. And it's an opportunity for Romney to really step up his game and show that you know, he's got the muscle and the wherewithal to prevail against Barack Obama, too.
And Senator,
it's a pretty significant night, yeah.
Indeed, and Senator Chambliss, that was a good time to point out that, as we've been hearing all week since 1980, this is the state that has picked the eventual GOP nominee. This could either be the year that South Carolina breaks that streak or the year that Newt Gingrich becomes the GOP nominee.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right, and certainly nobody knows right now. But you just would have to say, based upon history, that Newt's certainly in a very favorable position, and Romney's got to really, really step it up and show that he has the wherewithal to hang in there, whether it's debate-wise or otherwise, with Barack Obama. And we have to remember, too, that elections aren't won at the general election level based on debates. I mean, that they help. Certainly they help. But we've had, more Republican debates than any of us can ever remember in the history of our country. And Newt has done very well in virtually every one of them. And I think it's a combination of how well he's done there, plus, let's face it, Governor Romney didn't handle this tax return issue very well, and folks in South Carolina paid attention to that. So Florida now moves to front and center, and it'll be interesting to see how it progresses down there.
Well, Senator Saxby Chambliss, thank you so much for your time.
Sure. Good to be with you guys.
That's Georgia Senator Saxby Chambliss speaking to us from Moultrie, in Georgia.
And here in the studio with us is the president of the Pew Research Center, Andrew Cohut. Hi there, Andy.
Hi.
I see you've got a lot of paper in front of you, a lot of numbers scribbled down. Divine for us. What is happening here?
Well, it looks like Gingrich won a very broad-based victory. 71% of the people who cast ballots were Republicans. He won over Romney 42-29. 65% of them were Tea Party supporters. He won over Romney 43-26. 65% of them were evangelicals. He won 42-22. And the question of whether Gingrich or Santorum would take the evangelical vote, it's no contest, 42-20. The other thing that comes really surprising in this poll, the most important quality to South Carolina voters was who's most likely to beat Obama. And among those who said that, 48% chose Gingrich. Only 31% chose Romney. I've never seen a poll, exit poll, general poll, where Romney hasn't won electability. Gingrich convinced South Carolina voters that he's the most electable candidate. The other thing that we see is there was clear momentum in his direction. He won 40-20 or 26 over people who decided in the past month. Romney carried people who were early deciders. And as to the impact of all the controversy in recent days, among people who decided today, Gingrich won 43-27. It didn't hurt him enough, if it hurt him at all, to take away the late deciders. This seems to be quite a successful primary on any number of bases for Gingrich.
And NPR's Mara Liasson is here as well. Mara, Andy, sort of confirming some of the exit information you were talking about as well. In the minute we have left, can you give us a sense of whether or not all this decisive information pushes anybody out of the race? I mean, we're talking about Gingrich doing well, but what does this mean for the other folks who plan to push on?
Well, that's a good question. I think nowadays, because of super PACs and because of so many debates, all you need is a suitcase and a plane ticket, and, you know, you can keep on going.
Here comes
Romney to speak to his supporters. He's at the podium now.
We'll be coming back to Mitt Romney in a little bit. You're listening to special coverage of the South Carolina Republican primary from NPR News. As we've said earlier, NPR has projected that former House Speaker Newt Gingrich will win the South Carolina Republican presidential primary tonight, and that former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney will likely place second. If you want to hear more or get involved in the discussion, go to npr.org, where we've got all the analysis and the latest results. You're listening to NPR News.